Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
Moncrief on News Talk.
As you may know, Gary Lineker has announced he's leaving his position as helm of Match of the Day on the BBC. Lineker has never been shy about expressing his opinions, but it seems as if the final straw for him was sharing a social media post that many took to be anti-Semitic. So perhaps that was more a case of jumping before he was pushed. But what is the best way to leave a job? News Talks, you know what you can do with your bonus correspondent. Henry McKean has been out canvassing opinion. Good afternoon, Henry.
Good afternoon. And yeah, it reminds me of last year's Eurovision with Bambi Thug. And it all ended, she swore at us and she said, F you to the EBU. And she gave us the fingers and she was basically quitting. And it was fantastic.
Wow.
And it was sensational. And it was box office. I loved it.
Yeah.
And this year, Emmy was quite upset that we didn't go through, but she didn't lose her temper. So I think losing your temper is actually quite healthy and it's quite good.
It is, yeah. But there's always that. There's always that thing that you know.
You regret it afterwards.
You do that, and then afterwards somebody goes, "Yeah, but you know, you did that thing, you know." There's this bad feeling about that.
No, yeah.
Like, because it's like in this, mm-hmm. you know, that. I don't know, like if you or I said in here, we're going to leave.
Yes.
Would they take us off air immediately? Or would they let us like work out our notice? Because they might be scared. They might go, and here's a list of all the people I hate before I go, kind of thing.
Yes.
You know?
Well, I think that's really true. And I think they are actually letting Gary Lineker finish up this weekend.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. So he's not gone. He's almost gone. Anyway, this is a statement that Gary Lineker has released.
Hi, everyone. Some personal news. Last week, I shared a post here on Instagram that contained an emoji that has awful connotations. Unfortunately, I did not see the emoji. If I had, I would never, ever have shared it. The minute I was made aware, I quickly deleted the post and went on to make an apology. I would like, once again, to say I'm sorry, unreservedly, for the hurt and upset caused. It was a genuine mistake and oversight, but I should have been more diligent. I know that. I've stood up for minorities and humanitarian issues and against all forms of racism all of my life, including, of course, anti-Semitism, which I absolutely abhor. There's no place for it and never should be. So I think it's best for all concerned that I step down from BBC presenting duties altogether and not do next season's FA Cup or World Cup. The final day of the Premier League season on Sunday will be my last show. It's been a pleasure and a huge privilege working with the BBC for 30 years, especially hosting Match of the Day, a programme that is so close to my heart and an integral part of my life. I'd like to thank all of the quite brilliant, talented and lovely people both in front and behind the camera that I've worked alongside for 3 decades. You're at absolute best. The relationship with the BBC has been long and wonderful, but it's the right time for the organisation and myself to go our separate ways. Thank you also to all of you for your incredible support and love over so many years. It means the world to me. I'll see you all on Sunday.
There you go. Well, that was quite a graceful exit. 30 years, because he's been doing
years.
That longer than playing football, really.
And he's made more
isn't
money
that,
out of it than I think
that,
football.
Isn't that gas? Yeah.
It's a long time. And I could hear an emotion in his voice there.
Yeah, well, it would be after 30 years. Gosh. Dex says, I once quit a job after 1 hour and 20 minutes of my first day. It felt glorious until I realised about 2 hours later that I'd left my coat and my wallet in the cloakroom. Ooh. Yeah,
well,
that's
going to
hurt. Have you ever done it like that? Kind of flounced out of a job?
I have. I've done some silly things. You know, I once worked on a booze cruise and we used to give 90% alcohol in water pistols to the guests. And some of them would fall in the sea. And then this other one accidentally walked through this glass panel and got all cut up. And I quit. I just like, I literally walked off the job. I was just, I can't do this anymore. This is not good.
This is like health and safety over the gaff there.
It was horrific. I remember working in a modem factory. So basically, remember, do we still have modems? I don't know. But remember those things that used to go, make those
that
noises?
That was a separate box. Yeah, yes. Those things.
Yeah, I used to put them in boxes all day long and it was so well paid and they had an amazing cafeteria. Cafeteria is key, by the way.
An
amazing cafeteria. But I lasted just a few weeks because it was so boring. You were literally just putting things in boxes. So I quit. I basically stepped away from a hugely well-paid job, which could have led to even more money. But it was just so, so boring.
Well, was there like a career path there? Could you have
boxes? I think I could have eventually got off the shop floor or the factory floor and perhaps, moved into management.
Yeah.
And, you know, made decisions on whether or not.
As you say, boring. Just putting things into boxes all day long.
It was horrific.
That'd be insane.
And to the listeners out there, I know lots of you do have jobs like that. And I just want to say thank you because we do need to get those modems into the boxes.
Yeah.
We've got to do it.
I once took the full 1 hour commute to the office, got off the tram, looked at the building, got back on the tram and turned my phone off. I was working for a temping agency at the time and had an exemplary record, but that probably wasn't the best way to quit. I didn't get another job for 4 months, and even then it was lucky I got a second chance at all. You were having a bit of a crisis there, listener. That was what was going on there. And somebody else says, please don't ever think about leaving, Henry.
Oh, well,
this is not the reason we're doing this item. This is not like in advance of some sort of big announcement. From Henry, so you can.
Gary Lineker. Yeah. Gary Lineker. Big news today. It'll be the front page of all the tabloids tomorrow, and it will dominate the news in the UK and Ireland. Is leaving after 30 years in the BBC. But anyway, I asked these people, their stories. Here are people who have not quit their jobs.
You work for yourself.
Yeah, I have done since I was 18.
And how old are you now?
35. Look at me, stunning.
No, that's a personal question. So what do you do for a living?
I'm a hairdresser.
So you've worked for yourself all those years, so you've never had to quit?
Never. I'm not a quitter.
And when you did quit when you were 18, did you say, I'm going out on my own? How did it happen? How did you start out?
I just got a shop and did it.
Just got a shop?
Yeah.
And over the years, have people quit on you?
Yeah.
And what reasons have they given?
Because I'm a tough cookie.
You're a tough cookie.
Worked over there as an accountant for 40 years. My father before me, my grandfather before that, and my great-grandfather before that. So since 1897.
So all of you have worked in the same company?
Same company, same firm, four generations, 128 years last count. And so I've never left a job, no. No, I've no one boss. I've, you know, several hundred individual bosses, so it has its moments of slavery, all right, yeah.
And do you ever want to quit over those last 40 years?
Every Monday, yeah.
Every Monday? And you'll stay there till the bitter end?
Oh, certainly.
And when is retiring time?
Oh, 66, until the state pension kicks in, or 67 these days.
So Hayden Brown is the name of the firm, and are you a Brown or a Hayden?
I am, I'm Stephen Brown.
So you can't quit. It's a family firm.
Absolutely.
You're from Washington State. You've had the same job. You're retired now in a hotel. How come you didn't quit? How come you stayed? They must have treated you well.
I enjoyed it, and it was by the sea and a beautiful place, actually.
Have you given notice or have you just quit?
Given notice.
How much notice have you given?
A month.
So why have you quit jobs over the years? What put you off? A better job? Unhappiness?
No, more attention with managers, I would say.
Tension with managers. Let's unpack that. What do you mean?
If your principles are different to those who are making the decisions and you feel uncomfortable in the place, I think it's important
it's time to
stand
go.
Up. Yeah, so I think these things, they generally build up over time in that kind of situation. So it's not walking out, but it reaches a head where you're no longer able to get on.
Yeah, but can you hold your head before you make the big plunge out the door? Does anyone come up with a kind of a formula that you spoke to about
is there a great way? Obviously, you know, Gary Lineker perhaps had no choice and maybe he had to quit before they fired him. But, you know, there definitely you should put things in place. You shouldn't just do it in anger. I asked these people.
Best way to quit is just stay in bed.
Stay in bed. Just yeah. Don't show up. Have you done that?
Yes.
And you've lost the job?
Yes. The first job I ever had, I was working to work Wednesday to Saturday. I got paid on Friday. And even though I was a teenager, went down to pub and woke up on Saturday and saw how much money I had left and said, sod this.
So all the money was gone?
Yeah. There wasn't enough left to bother going back in.
What's the worst job you've quit?
Worst job I've ever had is in retentions with Sky.
So what does that mean?
It means trying to persuade people not to leave.
So you'd have to like go, ah, please. That's a real skill. I think lots of people could be better at that.
Oh, yeah, but I wasn't that great at it because when people had, to my mind, a good reason not to want.
Well, I had the same job most of my life, so it was, you know, I didn't call it a worse job.
And what was your job?
I was a nurse.
And you liked it?
Yes, I did.
And it's a vocation, really, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't use the word vocation nowadays. I wouldn't use the word vocation for any job nowadays, doctors. People go into a job because they want to, and it gives them reasonable money.
One texter says, I was picking watermelons in Australia and the lady who ran the farm was such a bitch that I lasted 45 minutes until I said life was too short and walked out the door and then had to hitch the 20 kilometres back to the hostel. I proceeded to rant to the owner when I got there about what a bee the woman was and he said, she's my aunt. So presumably you were left homeless as well. Amanda says, I quit my job before Christmas when they insisted on a return to the office 3 days a week. The office is in Limerick and I live in Fingal. I'd rather be unemployed than do the commute. Does beg the question why you took a job that's in Limerick when you live in Fingal. But I suppose that's a...
Lots of people do that. They work in France and they, you know...
That's true.
...live in Dublin, if you know what I mean.
Well, maybe it was years ago she took this job on and then, you know, she could do it remotely and then she couldn't do it anymore. And I'd say probably... She wouldn't be unique in that. And that's probably a lot of people go, sod this, I'm not going to, I need to be able to work remotely.
Because they are forcing us back. When I say us, I mean the workforce. I mean, we, you know,
Not a lot of them. Mm. Some of them they're forcing back.
Yeah, true.
Dennis O'Brien doesn't like it, apparently. Well, from home.
There's lots of, really.
Yeah. But yeah, he was.
He likes to be in the office.
He was going on about that last week. He had a bit of an out rant about it. He said it was bad for productivity.
I was in Basel. You know,
yeah, you missed all that. Yeah. Well, I mean, we can, you know, he's not our, you know, employer anymore. So we can say that. But, you know, around here, people were going, well, thank God, because I wouldn't be able to work from home anymore. A few people.
Well, there's so many empty offices in the city.
Yeah. Now, somebody who can't work from home, obviously, is a bus driver.
Yeah, the bus driver has to, you know, obviously drive the bus.
Yeah.
I met this lad. He was formerly in construction.
I was in construction for 28 years. I think the uncertainty and up and down and... basically being messed around for so many long years, like I decided to take a career change and I went to Dublin Bus.
So a complete career change, and construction is a bit like working on a film set. You know, it's a different site, different bosses, and then, you know, we had that very bad crash in about 2008, I think it hit the construction, and then things got better again. So, but you still, it's job to job.
Yeah, well, the reason for me is in the crash, I got messed around really in the crash. And then I emigrated to Canada for 5 years.
And what was that like?
Unbelievable country. I'd highly recommend it for any young people.
So you loved it out there?
Yeah.
And was it family that brought you home?
Family that brought me home. My partner got homesick and our mother was getting older. But I would highly recommend it. I've worked all over the world in construction and Canada would be at top of the list. But because I was getting a bit older, I didn't want to get caught out again on the next crash. And my body was getting a bit older and I had to make a wise decision.
And that's the thing with builders, construction. You've got until you're about 60 and then your body will give way, even if you're fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of concept I looked at. I said, in the next crash, I'm going to be too old to do it. So I made a conscientious decision to get out of it and probably get the job that was more stable with a pension. And just basically being messed around too much in the construction industry.
Do you feel there's a crash coming?
I do, yeah. Not as negative as the last impact, but definitely there is something coming down the line. I feel that.
And what's it like being a bus driver?
Look, it's a tough enough job. Every job has its pluses and minuses, but for me, it's the peace of mind. I can go on holiday, My money's in the bank every Thursday.
And you get to go home at a certain hour.
And I get to go home at a certain hour. We're in construction. I was up at 5 o'clock, getting home at 7.
And you're late on the construction site?
Exactly. And then as pressure went down on the jobs, you would be asked to work Saturdays, Sundays. I've worked at 11 o'clock at night, some construction jobs were in Dublin bus. I've no really boss. I come in, do my day's work. And I have more quality of life. I train a lot now. I swim. I look after myself more physically. So I'm getting that benefit as well as being paid every Thursday.
There you go. That man has his head screwed on. He really does.
Brilliant job, bus driver. Juice. Very well paid and unionised.
No, it's stressful as well, though. Apparently bus drivers, like...
they do get abuse.
They kind of... A lot of them get heart conditions and stuff because you're in traffic the whole time and, you know, can be a bit stressy. Added to which, it can be a bit dangerous.
And you're responsible for all the people on board.
Yeah.
You've got keep them safe.
Eric says, I tried to quit my job to go travelling for the year. HR thought it was some sort of poker face negotiation tactic. I ended up getting a year sabbatical and a promotion when I came back. Says, Eric, you must be hugely important to the organisation to swing that. A lad has recently left the company I work for. I'm convinced that he was part of a hidden camera show and was seeing what he had to do to get sacked. Always off sick, going homesick, dying family and friends. When he was in, he was on his phone. Wasn't sacked in the end, he quit.
There wow, so he did quit.
I wonder where he worked, that he could get away with all that.
Maybe the civil service?
Stop.
There's some good people in the civil
there
service.
There are some very good people.
There's some
the
really
hard working
people
mostly,
in the civil service.
Mostly good people in the civil service.
Mostly.
We'd like to point that out. What do the experts say you have to do? You have to kind of say, it's not me, it's you, or something like that.
We were in touch with Laura Smith from Top Tier Recruitment and possible coaching.
As a recruiter and a coach, I've seen it all, from the dramatic desk walkouts to the carefully crafted six-month exit plans. But before you draft that good luck email, here's my advice. First of all, stop and breathe. Don't quit on a Monday morning. Ask yourself, is it the job or just a bad week? Second, check your parachute. Have you got savings, a plan, or are you just free-falling into the world of figuring it out, which, to be fair, can be weirdly exciting? And finally, if your gut is whispering, there's more for you, listen to it. That's what I did. I still run my recruitment and coaching business, but I've also followed a lifelong dream to perform. Now I sing and I dance, and I've launched a new YouTube channel called Laz and Lucky, which focuses on emotional intelligence for kids. So yes, quitting can be scary, but it might just lead to something more beautiful. So when you do know it's time to quit, here's a checklist I've created. You're no longer growing, just surviving. Sunday scaries start on Saturday morning. Your values and the company's, two ships, different oceans. And deep down you already know you're meant for something more. Sometimes it's not a leap, it's a gentle step in a new direction. And listen, if the direction involves puppets, fairy tales and emotional intelligence for kids, then maybe it's not the end, it's just the beginning of something new.
That was Laura Smith from Top Tier Recruitment there. Did she say she's a dancer now as well? She does a bit of dancing on the side.
Well, the thing is, Laura, she really has changed in careers. She's involved in something called Laz and Lucky, SEL, and Emotional Intelligence for Kids. So basically it's a YouTube channel and big feelings, little hearts, growing emotional smarts with Laz and Lucky. So it's kind of like a puppet. She's a puppeteer and she's kind want a screen time that actually helps your child grow.
She use that in her day job as well? If people go in for career advice, she has like a couple of puppets going, do you really want this job? I don't know. You know, that would be really cool.
I think she separates, but at the same time...
Yeah, okay. I think she shouldn't. I think she should bring it all together.
To quote
Tesco, amazing.
And I'm not paid to say this, every little helps.
I mean,
you've got to just mix it up a bit. And what an absolutely lovely woman. And the best advice she gave there was, I think... Don't quit in anger. And if you do, make sure you've got money in the bank account.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because so many people do. They're like, I remember a guy throwing chairs across the office. I'm not saying it was here.
Yeah.
And
I think I know who that was. Even though you're not saying it was here.
There's chairs. Yeah. Like, I've got a chair there. And he was throwing them at a colleague. And I just thought, wow, what a way to go. What a way to go.
Yeah.
You know, do it in style.
Chair. And did they charge him for the chairs?
Ah, they were office chairs. They were
Texter says, the greatest job I ever had was a postman. You cycle around in the fresh air and give things to people, and absolutely everybody is delighted to see you. I absolutely did not quit. I had a temp contract and they didn't take me on after that, unfortunately. You know, they're not wrong. Being
They're not wrong.
A postie is a great job.
I think being a postman would be amazing. Like my postman, Brendan, what a fantastic guy. What a job. And they can wear shorts in the summer.
Yeah.
They get, obviously, they've got to get the post. They've got to deal with dogs. The dogs is a big issue. But being a postman, I would love to be a primary school teacher.
Would you? That's tiring.
I know primary school teachers would say, why? But it would just, but you'd get such job satisfaction. You get to go home at 2:30 and you get the whole summer off. And I know it's not about the holidays.
No, indeed not.
And going home at 2:30. And they will say that they do not leave at 2:30. They leave at 3:00 because they need to do some extra work.
Clean up afterwards and stuff like that. No, but it can be stressful. You have to deal with the parents. The parents might can be going, Johnny isn't good at maths. What are you going to do about it? And all that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's a lovely gig. And you can get a credit union loan because you're a teacher.
I want to quit a voluntary community role, but I'm finding it very hard. It would be easier to quit a paid job or a cult.
Yeah,
says I think this texter. Wow,
voluntary work is so hard to get out of.
Most people have probably had a summer job. Summer jobs are easy to quit, aren't they?
Well,
because they're coming to an end anyway.
Summer jobs are the hardest. I remember working in a cruise liner with Japanese tourists, and I had to dance for them. I had to dance for the Japanese tourists.
Okay.
In Hawaii.
Describe the context of that. Where like
it was a sunset.
Were they tucking
cruise.
Dollar bills into your speedos?
No, it wasn't.
How did that work?
Like I wasn't handsome enough or fit enough to be a stripper, but I wore clothes. But there wasn't a stripper floor. It was, you know, but I was on the cheapest floor. There was a VIP floor with the better looking waiters and waitresses. So I was kind of in the basement.
Okay.
And the Japanese didn't tip. So the Americans were upstairs and they would tip and they would give everyone dollar bills to dance. But I couldn't
and
stand
did,
it.
Did you have to dance by yourself or dance
we all
with
stopped
a tourist?
Danced. No, we danced with the other waiters and we had to do a traditional Hawaiian dance as the sunset happened.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and swaying your hips.
It was it was beautiful for them. It was it was a tough summer job, somewhat
surreal for you.
Yeah, I mean
that's a weird one.
Like, don't get me wrong, I love Waikiki Beach, but and I love Hawaii, but I did not like that gig.
Yeah,
and you're serving up lobster as well, and I basically think lobster is basically a dinosaur prawn. I've seen so many of them.
It's basically
a prehistoric prawn.
I don't like food that's looking at you. Anyway, as a principle. I did a summer job in a headstone factory.
Oh, wow.
That's
so cool.
Because people don't even know there's such a thing as a headstone factory, but there is.
And we don't know when we're all going to die. So you could be really busy or really quiet.
Business seemed to be consistent. That like they'd bring in these slabs of marble, and marble, when it's not polished, just looks like a piece of stone.
Yeah.
So that had these guys operating these machines that were just polishing it back and forth. And my job was when the things that they use for polishing, which were round, which were glued onto brackets.
Cool.
I had to put them on there was no health and safety. You had to put them on a grill, literally an old fashioned kitchen grill.
Yes.
Until they got red hot and then prise them off and then put more glue in and put a fresh piece of kind of polishing stone in it.
And how much would you charge for a headstone back then?
They're hugely expensive now.
I mean, they're in the thousands.
Yeah.
Like dying in Ireland, I think, cost about €20,000.
It's probably, I imagine it's still there. But I actually weirdly enjoyed that job just because.
Yeah. I always wanted to be an undertaker or a funeral director. You know, I would have liked that. I know that sounds really strange, but I just think it would have been a very well-paid job. You just have to get used to dead people. And then you'd be fine. But anyway.
Yeah. Obviously. That's part of it. Dan wants, I want one of them easy, high paying jobs on News Talk. Well, good luck with that, Dan.
I think we're hiring.
That Dan. I wonder who he is.
This
is Dan who used to work here, but he's now in 2FM. Maybe he wants to come back.
He's very welcome.
Yeah.
He's very welcome back. But very, very quickly, the lady, Laura's YouTube channel is at Laz and Lucky. That's on YouTube if you want to check it out. Anyway, we're talking about summer jobs.
It was one of my summer jobs while I was in college, and I worked in a kind of a golf and country club. And one of my first jobs every morning when I came in was to clean the toilets and empty the cigarette butts in the ashtrays.
Oh, that's horrific.
Yeah, so just did that for the one summer.
And you hated it?
Hated it.
And
disgusting.
What's the best way to quit? Is it just to say, I'm not happy? Is it a letter? Is it to do it in style and just walk out? Or I remember one guy who threw chairs across the office.
I would say do it in person, failing that in a letter, and just tell them you found something else.
And for you, your worst job?
My worst job was probably when I was working in a sewing factory making fleeces, because all the fluff would just stick in your nose, in your ears, and everywhere. Yes,
wow,
yes.
Fluff.
Yes. I lasted about 5 weeks. And then I just went on sick leave and never came back.
You were just sick because you had so much fluff in your nose.
No, I just didn't want to go back because I was also working on commission there, so I wasn't making any money.
There you go. A few people there giving their experiences of jobs they finally quit. Henry, thanks a million. As ever, Henry McCain there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.